Hallelujah, Jesus. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We wait on you, Lord. We're looking for you and seeking you, Jesus. So, Lord, I worship you. And I will bless the Lord at all times, for His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So we look unto you, Lord, and we are enlightened, and our faces are not ashamed. We cry unto the Lord, and you hear us, Lord, and you save us out of all of our troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about us because we fear you, Lord, and we reverence you. We worship you, and we are delivered, Jesus. We have tasted and we have seen, Lord, that you are good. And we are blessed because we trust in you, Jesus. You are so good, Lord. We are blessed because we know how good you are, Lord. Because we trust in you. Your love never fails, Jesus. Your love never fails, Lord. So we've come to acknowledge you, that you are the Lord of our lives. And we love you with our whole hearts, Jesus. All that is within us, Lord, we cry out. Out of the abundance of our hearts, Lord, we seek you and we sing your praise, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. You're so welcome in this place, Lord. There's nothing we'd rather be doing right now than entering in to the Holy of Holies and exalting you, worshiping you. We're calling on you, Lord Jesus, and we welcome you. You're so worthy, Lord.
Welcome, you Holy Spirit.
We worship you. Thank you, welcome, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We magnify you. Glorify you. We exalt you forever and a day. We magnify you. 10 times, 10,000 times, over and over, we want to stand here and magnify you and tell you how worthy you are and how we want to get to know you, love you as our Father, our Father, our strength, our provider. Our everlasting joy. I exalt you. I worship you and praise you. Just, Lord, make us like those who stand in heaven, the 24 elders and the four beasts that just stand there and magnify you relentlessly because of your everlasting love. We love you, Father. We praise and magnify you. Abba, we love you, Daddy. We magnify you and give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor and all the majesty. Blessings and glory and praise and honor be lifted up unto the Most High God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. For it's in these times and these kinds of settings that I desire to come to you. You're the steward of your own destiny. Know this common bond that you serve me with in the Spirit called praise, worship. It's the instrument of my grace to create inside of you the supernatural hunger and thirst whereby I'm able to come continually. For I am well pleased in all these things as I receive them from the abundance of your heart. Oh, but know this, the hunger is a supernatural hunger. Cultivate this in a place of intimacy continually. Because attached to this hunger, attached to this intimacy, is all of your needs met according to my riches and glory by my very own Son. So continue on in well-doing. Do not faint by the wayside as some do, not setting their heart upon the things that are above. But know this, that these supernatural stirrings are for you to wait in my presence. As long as you so desire, I will continue to work and create the stirring inside of you that will continue to perpetuate forever a continual flow of my grace and glory and my natural supply to you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If I'm getting this right, this is what I hear Him saying. You know, we just sang that song prior to this one about the hunger and the panting heart. Most of His church hardly can differentiate between desperation to get a need met and intimacy because He's your daddy. And what He wants more than anything else. You ever talk to somebody and try to explain to them the walk that you were on and what you were trying to go into, try to give them something? You thought that they would receive it with just open arms. And by all inclination, they're shaking their head and smiling and saying, yeah, wow, that's great. But it's, you know, it's, whew. You know, when you leave, they'll never take up arms and go anywhere with it. I asked God a long time about that. How is it that one person could take something, just run with it, live their whole life? Do you read a book like Walk of the Spirit or hear a revelation so powerful it can change and turn your whole world upside down? And one man will take it and just, I mean, live it. The other one will just take it and appreciate it like a relic or something, an artifact that you put on the shelf. He said it really is in the realm of hunger. It's a supernatural kind of hunger. Seems to be the prerequisite. If you really, and even that is not sovereign, like He puts it on some and doesn't put it on others. It's something cultivated. It's like the more you do it, the more it's a strange thing. You're getting satisfied, but also through all your satisfying of what He can come and satisfy with an inner peace and grace, He's also creating a well of just inner desire for Him. To most of the church, usually will lift their hands and magnify Him to try to get through something. And you know, He loves us so much, He'll take secondhand love. Knowing that you're just trying to endure something, trying to get it through, and He'll do that. You know why He does it? Because He's your Father. And He lives in the hope that when He can get your need met, that somewhere in all that exchange of you worshiping Him for something, that somewhere in it, you'll fall in love with it. You'll fall in love with it. And that a hunger will be so much so that you'll lift your hands right in the middle of the trial and say, God, I know that you said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver me out of them all. You deliver me out of them all. But I want you to know something, that I'm seeking you. I may not mean this to the fullness. I mean, I might be just a lot of what my hands lifted up for, maybe because my feet are against the fire. And we're 2 months behind and on and on and on. And you'll come and do that for me because you said your word said you would. But the highest place, Daddy, I want you to know something. That I'm looking forward to the day that when you get me out of all this, and when the sky is blue and the bluebirds are really blue, and I can breathe real good again, I want you to know something. I'm praying that the fire inside of me to get to know you will not be predicated on you getting me out of this. You'll get me out of it, but I want you to know, I want to wake up on that sunny day and go in and spend my hours like my life depended on it, because I want to get to know you. And He'll meet your need just living in the hopes that you'll fall in love with Him. You ever had a friend or a family member that you only heard from them about 3 times a year? Only when they could, I know I hate to call you, but you bail me out. You think about, why don't you ever come by and just hang out? Just coming by and hang out when you don't have to ask for anything. But He'll never tell you that, because He lives in a godly hope that one day, right in the middle of it, you'll say, my God, if this thing never got met, I'd still want to get to know you with the fullness of my heart, with everything inside of me, because you are my daddy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And it's that supernatural hunger that'll separate one man or one woman from another. They just don't understand it. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands one more time? I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you, glorify you. I thank you for who you are and what you have become to me and to us. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Why don't you go get a bunch of people and just hug them up real good. Just hug them up real good. And Kathy, can you give us some lights? Hallelujah. This is wonderful. It's you, Jesus. Father, we want to spend our whole life getting to know you. Hallelujah. The biggest misconception about why people won't go into Him here is because they think that the playing field will be totally level over there. So they think the playing field's level over there, like everybody's there. So so we're all there. Slipped in the back door, lived a carnal life, but was under the blood, and got in, and so we're there. So the misconception that the playing field's all level and it's a democracy, everybody's got the same, that'll usually cause if there is any neutrality in you, it'll cause it to go to full seed. Because you think, well, it's not necessarily beneficial. We're all going there. So if I do the things necessary, I got under the blood, and if I just do the things necessary to get there, I mean, just, you know, Don't go out and deny Him. But just get there. We're all going to be of equal. We're all of equal value. You can bet that. You can't love, the Apostle Paul any more than he'll love the one who just got born again just before the trumpet sounds. That's the thing about God. That's one of His attributes. He's totally agape. He's full. He's sovereign. Means there ain't no more. And if there ain't no more, then there ain't no more. He's sovereignly agape, meaning there's just nothing else that He can come up with. He's full. Just no 110%. It's just fullness. So He can't love one more than another, but the reward won't be based on how much He loves you. It'll be based on how much you loved Him. And you won't get another chance there. You won't get besides for what will supersede the throne, that time and space, which every man, He said, will stand before Him, and you'll get your own. I don't know how He'd do that, but there is no real time factor with God. You'd think with all those ones all the way from the garden that He held in Abraham's bosom, all the way up to the cross, and then everybody that's died and reigned and lived before us and up to the time of the resurrection, you think, my God, it'd take eternity for everybody individually. But no, with Him, everything is possible. But everybody will stand there individually. Thinking the playing field is just all the same will keep a man or a woman somewhat neutralized unless they fall in love with Him. But besides for what is past the throne, when He'll judge us according to the works. Now, get this. He said we would be judged according to the works done in our body. That judgment won't be, okay, I'm pleading the fifth here. The fifth would be the blood. He'll say, no, son. This is not whether or not you made it. We know that you're here. And the blood got you here. But the Word says that judgment is based on the works done in your body. Meaning this. How much of Him in this life did you get to let Him rule and reign through your mortal body rather than the flesh trumping you and telling you where you'll go, when you'll lift your hands, how far into God that you'll get. You say, oh, okay, hey, maybe I didn't do so good. I wasn't, I'm here. But I want to plead the blood on this. He'll say, no, this isn't. This judgment's not about the blood. It's the blood, yes, is the foundation of it all. But this judgment's on the works that you did in your body. Meaning, how far did you go into Me? How much of the flesh did you put under? But listen. Just, you ever had an intimate relationship with somebody, they're your close friend, or your loving wife, or husband, or somebody that you're special to you. You just spent the day before with them. You shared secrets, and you just spent a week with them maybe, or just shared your heart. And you go to a big bash. There's maybe dozens of people. And they can't spread their time up to where that they gotta spread their time up. There's a whole lot of people there. But when they look across the room at you, just the eye contact, the whole world can be shared through the eyes. When you stand before the Lamb and you've ruled in your body and you've caused your body to come under subjection to you rather than letting your flesh tell you how far you'd go into God and your emotions rule over your life. When you stand before Him and He sees what you conquered, first being yourself. And then, see, most people want to conquer a city. You can't conquer a city until you conquer you. You got to get you conquered before you can conquer a city. So just that stare, just that look, will be worth it all. Just for Him to look at you like, you know that I know that you know that I know what you did to combat your flesh when nobody else knew. Now, that look alone will be enough. But then, there's more than adequate Scripture to show you that He that was faithful in a little is absolutely going to be judged and rewarded. When He said that He had things prepared there, a dwelling place, it wasn't the word mansions, it was the word dwelling places. Listen, when you're walking down that place and the parade of is taking place and every man's getting his reward, you don't think, I know you're further along than this and I'm being facetious, but you don't think that that when you're walking on gold, that the reward to you, like that the Lamb's giving out, that you're going to be so proud of, is something so immaterial as a gold-studded, diamond-studded doorknob, a big, huge mansion that you live in alone by yourself. I mean, I want candy in there. Oh, God. That word mansions had nothing to do with that. No. He meant when you stand on a grace line and or you're standing in a place of glory, even at home or wherever you're at, you ladies are walking around your kitchen and I love you, I worship you. And all of a sudden He comes on you and the tears start flowing and intimacy and fellowship and you feel so good. You feel like you almost want to go out of your body. You're just my God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, I love you, I love you. And the euphoria of that, the euphoria of it makes you feel like, well, there's no words to describe it. There's no earthly pleasure that can absolutely just, it's not apples for apples. Don't you think that He knows how? Especially when you're not living in a carnal body, a fleshly body, you're living in a glorified body. Now, here's your reward. That look, and all of everything that He bestows upon you. We call it an anointing here. Over there, it'll just be the robe of His glory. Somebody walks in a room now, if they've got any glory on them at all, if you're spiritual, you notice it. And you say, man, they look like they're walking in peace and they've been with Jesus. How much more over there? You think that when we're living already in opulence, that something so silly as what you've got, I own this, He was given. No. No. It'll be a bestowal of His glory on you. So much so when they look at you, I mean, they'll be taken back. You'll be living in your own world. You'll be in heaven, but you'll be in your own heaven. Because it's a opulence, it's a place of splendor inside of your emotions that just keeps turning over and over, and He turns it up based on how much you ruled and reigned over your body here. And that authority will be the same authority that He said the saints will rule and reign with Him. This is a carnal word to use, and it doesn't really do it justice because it's not really like this pecking order. But it won't be like, okay, I'm submitting to you there. You'll just submit to the level of glory because you'll look at somebody and you'll say, who are you? What is your name? Such and such. I didn't read about you. But I noticed when you walked in, there was something, I mean, glory was so strong on you. Who are you, ma'am? Just so and so. What? Please tell me. What university did you start? Or what? You had to write great books, or you must have had a great healing ministry. What was it? Tell me. What did the Lamb? How come the Lamb would bestow something on you that I can't hardly even get close to you? If falling out was possible in heaven, you'd feel like falling out just to get close to Him, and you'd say, "My God, you've got a place, authority around here." I'd say, "Well, what did you do?" "Well, not a whole lot. I don't think it's just that." He called me to a ministry of intercession. And there was this guy that was wanting to have a revival. And the Lord came to me and said, "You need to help that guy. And if you'll spend a lot of time, if you'll spend a lot of time in my presence, then I'll be able to come and purge you." See, because that's it. The authority that we walk in, it doesn't come from out there. Did you get somebody raised from the dead? He doesn't come from out there and get them raised. It comes from somewhere. It's living on the inside of you. That's why you can stand there and just try to get it done. If it doesn't come, it's not because it's not available, but it's just not there. What did you do? Well, for the first 10 years, I don't think I did much because my flesh beat me out of it. And I'd pray sometimes and I wouldn't pray often. And I'll shorten this for you since you're asking, but and I gave Him all kind of excuses why I couldn't spend a lot of time. I mean, I was busy doing this and busy doing that, and all of it seemed legitimate to me. But I kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on until something started breaking down on the inside of me. And I found out that by His grace, I started ruling over my body more. My body would tell me, it used to tell me, "Go do that." And I'd just go do that, or "Go get involved in that." And I'd just go get involved in that. And then 6 months down the road, I'd look at it and say, "My God, this is robbing my time, my energy. I thought it was a God thing. It's not. What is..." Then I went on years and years, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like all of a sudden, it couldn't have been, I found out that I was able to rule over my body and my emotions. And when He had asked me to go in and spend the hours to pray in a revival. "How about you, sir?" "What? You were an apostle. You were an apostle. I know the look of an apostle because, I mean, the angels step back a little bit when you walk by. I mean, they're not giving you the homage of the Lamb, but my God, whoo-wee, Mr. Apostle, what doctrine did you walk in?" "I wasn't an apostle." "No. What? Well, I know you can't lie in heaven, so you must have been. What were you, though? How many churches did you have under you?" "Didn't have any. What did you do?" "Well, I made a bunch of money. Made a bunch of it. The first half of my life, I believed what most people were telling me about the prosperity doctrine." "Ooh, watch out." "I believed it was all for me. And I believed that to show people how prosperous I was and how much faith I had, it was I could have a bunch of trinkets. 3 or 4 cars, and 2 or 3 homes, and 4 or 5 boats. And so I thought, but you know what? I kept working this work in my body. It's called praying in tongues. And tongues led me to, it convinced me. I don't know how it convinced me, because to start with, the people I were listening to, they weren't convincing me. But after a while, I just got dissatisfied listening to that kind of stuff. And then I started listening to my inner nature, and my inner nature told me, you've got something higher than all this being consumed on yourself. And you know, then the Holy Spirit started taking me to the Word and showed me that I had an actual office, just like an apostle for this. Well, it still took me years because the devil came and he beat me down. I went bankrupt a couple times. I didn't know how to do it, but I kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and ruling over my flesh. My flesh, every once in a while, I'd want to run out there and spend a lot of it on myself, and then I'd have to come back and say, okay. But I just kept praying. I kept praying. And I remember my body, my emotions, my mind, my will started coming under subjection to the ascendancy of the Holy Spirit. And when I did that, and I remember when I made my first million, all my buddies that I'd known 20 years later, they were waiting to see what my next big house would be. And you know, I kept, I don't know how I did this. I guess it was through praying in tongues. I kept a tenth of it for myself. Because that's all I needed. And then that old boy that was wanting to cause a revival, I went down there. My flesh was so under subjection. By that time, I just laid it at the altar and said, I won't even get involved where you send it to. You want to send it to missions? You want to send it to rehabs? You want to stand up in front of a media screen and tell people that Jesus loves them, but not only does He love them, He'll fill them with a second work of grace. Do you know, I could have went to Europe on that 3 times. But I don't know. My body wasn't giving me a fit then. My flesh wasn't bothering me. And the Lamb told me because I did that. I thought I had to preach the gospel or raise the dead. No, I did pray for people. I saw people get healed. But my calling was I just beat my flesh down. Well, did you go lacking? Oh, no. I probably had the nicer things on the block. But I could have showed off a whole lot more. But I took my show off and gave it to the kingdom. Do you mean the Lamb? And you know, here's the deal. That glory, however long eternity is, how long is it? It's a big circle. It never ends. 50 billion trillion. What's the one we use, Candy? Zazillions? I don't even think there is zazillions. Go to the last alphabet, last letter. Zillions of years later. Whatever you got when you got there, that's what you'll be walking in. And if it was legal in heaven, people would say, hey, I beg. To seeing how it pleased Him, how you beat your flesh down. Can we go back? I mean, can we just have one more little short run at it? Because what I'm going to do is, knowing how it pleased Him. Hallelujah. I know a man who had a vision, and he was walking towards the throne, and it was like a parade. And he said that he saw like crowd control. It was in heaven. It's like angels kind of, and people were on their tippies looking over to see, who is this? And it was this man, he said, I saw myself in the vision because of going and doing what he asked me to do in this life. They were escorting me up there. And he said, I was walking like this, and a little hand slipped their hand in mine. He said, I looked down, and he said, it was a little girl. Little tiny thing. She looked up. She said, Mister. She said, I'm the child of war, abortion. I grew up here. You don't think when those little spirits, they're little, they're just little spirits in a piece of clay. They go there. He gives them the same chance to grow up. They grow up. They grow up without all this. And she looked up at him and said, I'm the product of abortion or war. We're all killed in famine. But I grew up here. But I would gladly trade places with you. If I could, I wish I could go back to that place called Earth and grow up and get the chance to fight the flesh and beat it down and get the look that you just got and what you're getting from the Lamb, because you loved Him enough up against all odds to fight back everything that opposed you. And now you get to receive the victor's crown. She said, I wish I could trade places with you. Hallelujah to God. Well, he had a scripture, but I never even thought he'd go this way. This is what we get when we step over that line. You keep battling. There is a place called done. There is a place called revival. But it has to take place in you first. Me first. Oh my. We were going to read here, but see, we won't. Jesus, when He did the miracle at the pool of Bethesda, they followed Him out in the wilderness because He's in Jerusalem. Just synopsis here. They pulled Him out. And they followed Him out by the thousands. Well, they said, estimated speaking, we know there was over 5,000 men. Women, children, said, looked like a crowd of about 20,000. Well, when He asked Philip, how are we going to feed these guys, boys? He said, well, such and such penny worth of bread, if we loaded up now and all of us took a mule and got back as soon as we could, it sure wouldn't be enough, would it? He said He did this to test Him because He knew what He was going to do already. Well, you'd really think if He's our prototype, if Jesus really is our prototype, if everything that He lived was a living example, a living epistle, if the gospel of seed time and harvest was really, if that's the way that He really primarily wanted to get over to you, your provision. He had two great examples. He missed his stage. I mean, He missed his stage, his spotlight and time. Because what he should have said was, okay, I'm going to do a miracle here, but what I need is something from them. And I need their faith. I know they're poor. They followed me out here. Go see what they've got, and I'll work on getting it done for them. But you know what he said? He took the bread. He broke it. He just looked up into heaven and said, Father, Father. And he fed them. 20,000 of them. Didn't need anything from them. He just fed them. Some guys will get this mixed up because then they'll think, oh, well, you're talking about a level playing field. You mean stewardship doesn't bring... No. You're talking about something different now. You're talking about a 1 Corinthians 12 calling and a Romans 12 calling, where the man that steps up to the plate and says, I'm going to steward my whole life and everything in it. And he says, oh, you mean you'll do that? Oh, yes, I'll do it. Well, then I'll make sure that line on line, precept on precept, as a steward, you'll get the filter in your life. You mean to tell me that you'll go in even if you're not ready? You'll die enough, live over your body, that I can get a lot through you, and I'll tip you on the side, but I can funnel millions through you? Yes, sir. Even if I'm not there, I'll keep dying until I get there. Okay, the deal's on then. But provision? I mean, just common. Who He is? Daddy? Jesus, you missed your shot if you're going to teach us that you need something from us first, other than our belief that you are who you said you are. Well, they followed Him. He fed them, and they followed Him over to Capernaum. They took shipping and followed Him over. And He said, look, you know, you followed me over here not because you saw the miracle. Meaning, not because an act of God interested you so much in what God is about and who He is that it started an inferno in the inside of you and you said, I want to get to know this Jesus. He said, you followed me over because you ate the bread. You crossed the sea. I mean, you. Let's go to another conference. Let's fly another 2,000 miles. Because we're going to find out what we're going to get out of this. He said, you followed me over not because you wanted to get to know God. Because something in that so interested you. My God, this is my Father. I want to get to know Him. He said, you followed me over because you got a provision met. See? He said, let me tell you, here's the work. Believe. He said, what is the work then? You mean if I don't have to do something, what is the work? Father has sent. And you just lift your hands and say, Father, I don't have to go get nothing. You are my provider. You are who you say you are. Jesus, He didn't tell them, hey boys, even if they've got a rock to give, tell them to put the rock in. It'll symbolize. No. He said, I want to teach you how your Father is about who He is. Well, I want to go for everything that God's got. Good. Then, what you're called to is entrepreneurship. You're called to a life of stewardship. But when you stand on the line of who He is, you better understand something. Already been provided. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Pando kerese kerediato blaso. Well, He sent us a teacher. The first work of grace was your born again nature. The second one was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But your teacher comes to teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth so that you're comparing truth on the inside out of a reservoir that has nurtured that truth. You're talking about a counselor? Why am I failing? Well, I don't know. Why didn't the grace line work for me? I don't know. You laid hands on me 10 times. It hasn't worked. I don't know. But I do know this. There is one that will pray for you day after day, hour after hour, month after month, and so fill your words so that the confession of your faith that you stand and you're going to speak that word and say, I say, Father, that you are my provider and I can have as much of you and as much blessings as I want to stand here and proclaim that you are who you say you are. You know, there's devils. I hate them. Religious devils that accuse. A religious devil will accuse you of being religious. I heard of somebody recently telling somebody else, you need to stop praying in tongues. You're in works. Did you ever hear of something so asinine? Oh, are you allowed to cuss in church? You're going to cut off? You're going to cut off the only source? Wait a minute. He's the one that's been sent to guide you into all truth. And His medium of exchange is Him praying for you. And His supernatural prayer is meant to be answered. How does it get answered? It comes back by supernatural wisdom and supernatural knowledge. The lights come on. You understand why you're failing. You understand. And besides for that, Jude 20 says you build yourself up on your most holy faith. And then you're going to cut Him off because you say, if I do this too much, I'm into works. Oh, God. James said, show me your faith. Without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Here's how my faith works. He's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. And the more that I turn Him loose, He's able to get into the quirky parts of me. He's able to get into the parts of me that I want to turn loose. He's able to get into the parts of me that I don't want to turn loose. He's able to get into the parts of me that I can see that is a fault and failure. You know, we're most of the time worrying about stuff that we can see. He's not worried too much about that at all. It's the parts of us that we think we're just totally okay in and we can't see. That's the ones He wants to pray out of us. I'm strong in that area. I know you think you are. Can you imagine? What if I told you, here's a helper. Don't use him. If you start using him too much, you've got a time limit on him. If you do it more than 20 minutes a day, you're into works. My God. I'm not smart enough. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. Hallelujah. I don't know how we go into all this, Travis. Travis, I don't know either. Anointed hands. Hey, I understand that Omer did a great job again. Hallelujah. Two or three done told me. So I like to come hear him, although I'm usually gone when he speaks, because if you do want to cheat on a, fudge a little bit on a book that he is teaching on, because he won't teach on it unless he's went over and over and over and over and over and over. So sometimes I'll, if I don't go over it too much and I want to make sure that I'm not getting the revelation out of context with what I'll just... So what do you think about this? Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I appreciate everybody sending us out. We got a chance to see Frank and Tina and... do exactly what I wanted to do. Just sit and do nothing with Pastor Dave. Just sit and talk for long, long chats and walks. And hallelujah. So we're not patronizing a man, but I'll tell you this. It's good to know somebody that has went through hell many times over, and to hear him say, you know, some preachers will get up and they'll talk a big talk like this. Oh, I'm going forward. The devil's under my feet, and blah, blah, blah. And then when you go fishing with them, it's like, are you the same person? Golly, all that perversion coming out of your mouth. I'm not talking about filth kind of perversion. I'm talking about faithlessness. But I can promise you, when there's nobody else there, just the words that are coming out of his mouth is, I will not quit. I'm going to see revival. And there's got to be something more than just the tenacity of a person. It's got to be a testimony to the power of the relentless prayer life and how that it'll build inside you something that doesn't matter what hell throws out. You don't blame God. You just keep marching to the tune of a different drummer. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. So, we're going to get ready to give, and man, I think that's all he wants done. But you know what? I can't wait. When I was looking at walking around that ministry and Frank and Tina and what they do, and I watched those young guys in there there's families there, women that are there with their husbands. So that's the last place they've got. Raising their little kids for the time being. One of them fixing to have one. Do you know they'd really rather have another place, but they're in a place of safety right now. And I looked out one of those mornings and saw all those guys worshiping and just absolutely pouring their hearts out to God, and my heart couldn't hardly stand it. But I noticed one thing, that the constituency, I mean the overall age, was way down compared to when I first started going up there to Crystal River. I mean, it'd be like guys in their 40s, 50s. I mean, these are all guys in their like 20s. Young guys, teenagers, some of them, 16, 17, 18, and then early 30s. God's trying to get them as early as He can. And the other testimony is the enemy's going at them at a lot earlier age now than ever before. They're usually way addicted by the time they get, even into their late teens. I can't wait. And don't tell me it's not coming, because I won't listen to you. When these things fill up so strong, do you think we're just going to turn it all on ourselves? Stroll those grounds, I saw a big slab that's been poured and just sitting there. It's got a metal building that's been given to them, but I can't go no further with it. It's supposed to be the children's home. The water bill runs them about $800 a month, and they could, because they're on city water, but they got a big pump there. They could pump it all in. They just need a pump. Change all that. Some of you need to get rich. Now that's the other side of it. The one side of it, He's your Father. You just lift your hand and say, I receive, Father. You'll pay my light bill. You'll put bread on my table. You mean to tell me that if one of these babies, I want to crawl through the TV. I want to crawl through the TV and get a chokehold on. When they tell me this, that if my baby, one of these adopted grandkids, they're not adopted anymore, they're mine. If they was to come and they call me Papa like his grandkids call him Papa, they said, Papa, I'm sick. I'm sick. Would you pray for me? Do you think that I'd be so sick, so demented in my mind to say, okay, baby Saul, I call her baby Saul, Marisol, baby Saul, go back in there to your toy box and pick out your favorite toy and bring it up here to Papa and give it to me to prove that you love me. And then I'll do something for you. I'll bring this healing. That's the message you're hearing. I just want to put a stranglehold on them. You don't. That's not my daddy. I don't know. I don't know where you come up with him at. You think that's your daddy? He just broke that bread and said, Father, thank you for it. And then he fed him. Now, if you want a stewardship, you're not even supposed to go in the law on it. It's His grace. He'll run millions through you. And the more He can see that you're faithful with it, He'll run another million through there. But I will write checks. We'll write checks to the... get those buildings put up. And we'll do a work here and we'll just flood the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Kathy, why don't you just give us one song to worship through? We'll get ready. Why don't you just ask Him what He'd have you to give this morning? Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Marco Labrosse. Jane Maclase. Things are turning, saith the Spirit of grace. To know this, that even when wickedness rules and reigns on the throne of the world system, that I have a supernatural system that can trump the wisdom of this world. And know this, that I will have my outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. So take hope, little ones, because the return of the prosperity by which you desire to walk in is not on its way. Confess it is among you, saith the Spirit of grace. Confess it is among you. And for some, as I have said in days gone by, that if I could show you that level of prosperity that I've ordained for you, you would fear and tremble. But know this, be faithful and determined that when things return as they should be, that you've already set your compass inside of yourself to be that steward that will bring forth all the way to the end, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory. So, Father, we thank you for it. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, and the dead are raised, and thousands are born again in this revival. We were going to have Miss Gay come up earlier, but I think this is where we'll end it. And we have all the monies necessary for this revival. We have more than enough. Baskets left over to give unto every good work. Hallelujah. Jesus. If I was a businessman, you can do it any time of the day, or businesswoman, you can do it any time of the day, but there's no legalism in that. But by the end of the day, you're wore out and tired, and it But you catch that first part with a coffee or tea or whatever. You begin to pray in tongues, half hour, 45 minutes, and then just stop. And the best that you do is just worship. I love you. I love you. But listen. Listen. Because you'll have the greatest partner that you ever had sit down right across from you and tell you yes. And he won't just say yes, no. He'll that language that you spoke, it'll start coming back to you. It'll start being interpreted to you. And he'll give you wisdom, understanding. And besides for that, dreams. Dreams are for our day and hour. Some of you need to talk to Marty. He's just dreaming and dreaming and dreaming. You men that are called to this, you women that are called to it. Yes, women. Lydia. All of these ones. You need to call each other. You need to get together every once in a while. Just to compare notes in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Just checking. He did good today, didn't he?